つの。
Get the thing close. There we go. Amen. Good to meet the house of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Let's put it in the pocket. Is it good in the pocket? Okay. For me last week, it was great help last week. Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. Last week, this past week for the street meeting, the last couple years, I was involved, but not thoroughly involved like I was this week, last week. And the first day, on Monday, we went with Brother Travis Sharp and Brother Kenny Moore in the car, Brother Bill Paisley, Brother Tim, I'm not sure of his last name, but we all was in that van together. And Travis Sharp, he asked us to come with us to get just he knew we knew the area pretty well, so he wanted us to be like a chaperone just to scan the area and everything. And after we started, we first went down Hammond Street, and not Hammond Street, 169th. I call it Hammond Street downtown, 169th, and we made a left. We went down by Grand, and Travis says, "What is the homeless usually hang out around here?" I said, "They're usually right here on that little bridge right there by Klein and 169th, but no one was there." And then he began to ask, "Well, where do they usually sleep at?" Well, I said, "Well, in Chicago, I know they normally sleep under bridges and under bypasses, or when you're downtown, they sleep by Wacker Drive, you know." And he began to say, "Well, what about in the woods?" And for me, that was, "What do you mean, woods? They have shelters and everything up here. They can just, you know, go to the shelter and get help." Well, he said, "Well, they don't always feel comfortable going to those shelters." Right. He said they'd much rather be on their own and just have them in a little spot. So being the person Travis is, and Tim was homeless for 4 years. I didn't know that. He was homeless for 4 years, and he began to say, "Turn right there." We can't turn anywhere right here. And we were behind Save-A-Lot. And he went behind Save-A-Lot, and it was a little path. I thought, "Well, it's a little path. It must be deer's." He said, "No, no, if you look down, these are men. These are human being marks. That means that was somebody physically walking." I'm like, "Well, how you know that?" He's like, "Look at the dirt. Dirt is soft. If it's deer's normally hide the path. So they'll make a path, but they'll turn around and pull up grass and kind of like bury so you can't see it." So we began to go on those tracks. And I'm telling you, and Tim, he was like a pit bull. He was just out there. He's used to being that lifestyle. So he know how how the homeless are. You know, their different styles and where they like to hang out at. So we began to go on different paths. And we got to the paths. You can see like it was cardboard there. It's cardboard laying here. It's cardboard laying right here. And he said, "Well, they're not here right now, but this is where they normally are." And for me, that changed my heart. Because for me, I grew up in Chicago, and therefore, I was desensitized toward homeless.
Right.
I see homeless, and my thought was, they're there because they want to be there. You know, they're doing drugs. They're out there, you know, doing prostitution, all those different things. Well, in reality, we're all two paychecks away from being homeless. I know I am. Make that half of a paycheck. We're half of a paycheck for being exactly in that same position where they are. And then not only are you just one, two paychecks away, you're one bad decision. One wrong lifestyle change from being in that same situation. What I mean by that, yesterday I took the children, we were going to a bike trail. On that bike trail, right before we got there in Highland, it's going down, it's Klein Avenue. And I got to the stop sign, and I heard the kids in the background saying something, so I turned around, you know, correct them, you know, like I normally do, yelling. And so a car came up, and I was getting ready to make a left-hand turn, and she took off. And my mind, like, this woman, I was here first. I need to go. And so I began to go, and she cut me off and took off, and I tapped my horn. You know, I ain't want a horn cursing, so I just tapped. I just hit the horn. Woman, what's wrong with you? Hit the horn, you know. And first she went like this, then I went like this, you know. And I'm like, it's all good. I ain't doing nothing wrong yet. Then she flagged me. I'm like, oh. I looked down. I had a switchblade in the car. That decision right there could have not only made me homeless. Well, I mean, homeless. I could have been in prison for doing something with that switchblade, and also my family. They could have been in a bad predicament. Let's go to Luke chapter 15 and verse 1. Luke chapter 15, verse 1. Read, stand the word of God real quick. Luke chapter 15, verse 1 says, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eat with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you having 100 sheep, if ye lose one of them, do not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he found it, he laid it on his shoulders and rejoicing." The title of the sermon is Lost, Found, Rejoiced. Let's pray. Father, heaven, Lord, we thank you for being blessed, Lord. Lord, I pray you fill me with your Holy Spirit, Lord, and help me to rightly divide your word of truth, Lord. Yes, Lord, it's people hurting, Lord, and I know our duty is to feed the sheep, Lord. Our duty is to direct them towards you, Father God. Lord, so I pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that you help me help these people, Lord, and get something from your word, Lord. Get something we've never seen before, Lord. Lord, I've been mildly helped this last 2 weeks, Lord, and I pray that I could just help this use a sample of what I've learned, Lord, what I've been through, what many people have been through, Lord, and just give them you, Lord. We love you. Pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Lost, found, rejoice. It's something special in Luke chapter 15. It's three parables that we notice here. And they all have these three similar things. Someone was lost, something was lost, something was found, and then there was a great rejoicing. If you look down in verse 3, it says, and he spake, let's go back to verse 1. It says, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and the sinners for to hear him." It says publicans. Publicans are those nasty the tax collectors. It says, and sinners. The word sinners here is not just any sinner. It's the known sinners. So like the big in our time, it would be someone who committed a great crime, someone who's like an Oklahoma City bomber or something in those sins. It's something that we all know. If we see that person, we know his sin. Not something that we are secretly known sin. This is a great known sin. Then it says unto him, and the Pharisees are the religious folk, and scribes, it says, and scribes. Scribes are the writers, like the town clerk. It says, murmured, saying. They always complain about something. It's always something they complain about. Saying, this man receiveth sinners and eating with them. A moment ago, I said that I was desensitized toward the fact, desensitized toward homeless. Normally, everywhere we go in Chicago, not everywhere, but most places, anywhere near expressway or a busy street, you're going to see some homeless. How you know they're homeless? Normally, their clothes is a little dirtier. They normally have a souvenir bag, or they're carrying along something. You can normally tell by how they're dressed. The reason I said I was desensitized to it was because I saw so much that I didn't think to witness to them. I didn't think to encourage them. I felt like they're there on their own behalf. They're there because they want to be there. They're not there because they did something like I did. My sin is not bad as their sin. My sin is just little. Theirs is huge. Then it says, and he spake this parable saying to them, "What man of you having 100 sheep, if you lose one of them, do not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after it, go after which was lost until he find it?" If you notice here, it says lost. If you go to Luke 15, verse 8, it says, "Either woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, do not light a candle and sweep the house until she seek diligently, looking hard, seeking until she find it." It's always a woman to lose something. Let me just go back. Sorry. I mean women. I didn't mean none of you women. It's always me. Let me say me. Let me use myself here. I normally lose my keys. I normally lose my cell phone. I normally lose my wallet. I just started using my wallet probably 2 weeks ago. Why didn't I want to use a big wallet? I just want to keep my ID in my pocket. I can't lose an ID. What happened? I lost my ID. I lost my debit card. Matter of fact, in my pocket right now, I still have my wife's debit card. Who clapping over here? But it said, I was trying to talk about the people over there, and it says, lose this piece of silver. She swept the whole house. A woman, when she lose something, and it says, look, it says, 10 pieces of silver, and she lost one. Well, normally that one, this equivalent to this will be, that one piece of silver will be the same as a paycheck now. So it was something that's, it was important to her. So what did she do? She swept the whole house. She went back and forth. It had to be dark in the house or dark outside because why? It says she lit a candle. It says she lit a candle and swept the house and she seeked diligently. She didn't seek a little bit. She didn't try to find a little bit. That same thing with Travis and my little brother Tim. When we would look for those people, we didn't just drown. We didn't see anybody. They just head back and go eat and stuff our belly. No, that van, by the way, it's not good. It don't have a great axle. When you try to do a U-turn, you can't do a great U-turn. It's like a go-kart. This thing stop here, and you got to back up and do a three-point turn, and you turn again. And this is 169. This is busy. Yeah. That man got eagle eyes. We were driving down 169th, and I'm looking around, I don't see nobody. Travis spots someone, we lean all on the car, he falls over, and what is he doing? He's seeking that person. He's seeking diligently for that person. He's going, we was in the woods. We was going down one way, he's looking for, I'm telling you, the man was going, I thought he was crazy. I used to live in Chicago, you didn't drive down one way, there's always cars flying. The man, he was looking at signs, and I don't recommend none of this now. He wasn't looking at signs, you just driving. And he saw something that looked like where a homeless person would be. And he'll bend that car. We was in the big 15-passenger white van. And he'll turn it. And we're in the woods. And we're, the leaves are coming inside the car. You got ducked like we run from police. And he was diligently seeking them. If you go to, back to verse 4, it says, what man if you have 100 sheep, if you lose one, do not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the which is lost until you find it. If you just read this thing slowly, first of all, he has 100 sheep. That means he's pretty wealthy to have 100 sheep. Normally, the average size sheep flock was between 20 and 30. So if he has 100 sheep, the man not hurting for one, but it says he stopped in the wilderness. Now, think about it. If he has 100 sheep and he's in the wilderness, don't you think the other 99 is going to escape? He wasn't thinking about those 99. He was thinking about that one that he lost. That's the same way we should be. We should be, when we're outside on the streets and we're going to work, those different things, we should be diligently seeking after the lost. Amen. We should be firmly seeking after the lost. We shouldn't just, I don't want to offend Stevie, I know he's a good person. He goes to work. He's a nice young man. No, it says he diligently sought. We're supposed to diligently seek. We're supposed to keep going. If we're going to offend them for the right reason. Offend them by telling them about Jesus. Amen. If they die right now and they went to hell, they're going to remember that. He's a preacher. Why didn't he tell me about Jesus?
Right.
Why didn't he just go one more step? Why didn't he just knock on one more door? When we were going on Burr Street, not Burr Street, we was on Grant. We were driving down Grant and it was probably, we had about 5 minutes to get back to the base to eat for lunch. Travis was asking me, which way should we go? I said, you can make it right here, make a left. You can make it right here, but he didn't hear it. At that same time, Brother Kenny Marr was in the back praying and saying, Lord, this sends that one person. Sends that one person that we come across of, that we can encourage them, we need a divine appointment. That's the word he used. We need a divine appointment, Lord. Lord, show us that person. While me and Travis was getting words mixed up about which way to turn to go over the expressway, we went over the expressway, and sure and behold, we went right over the expressway, and on the right-hand side, there was a man named Albert. Albert just lost his job that same day. Albert had just lost his job. Where was he going? Well, someone had told him that it was a shelter or something to give you food or like a Red Cross type of thing. They said it was on 35th. Well, he was about an expressway, which is like 30, around 30th. So that means he was on 25th, walked all the way to 35th, and was on his way back. Now, it's about 100 degrees outside. This man was trying to get some help. The same time he was looking for help, he's praying, God, I don't know what's going on. I lost my job. It's nobody else's fault. He said he was a drug addict. He had been clean for so many months, but I think about 6 months. He's from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. So he's a long way from home. The man said he was looking. He just needed some help. At that same time, he was praying, because he said he was saved, but he was in a bad state right there. He was praying. Kenny Ma was praying. We went over the bridge, and we met him. Why? Kenny Ma was diligently seeking the Lord after one soul. Lord, help us to help someone else. Amen. We saw that man. We was able to get in the van. Now, he willingly got in the van. If you really need some help, you're gonna find some help. You're gonna willingly get some help. The man got a car. This is, and it helped me a lot. I'm just watching this, you know. And he got in the car. We got in contact. We prayed with him, and we dropped him off at the Red Cross. For me, that was big. I'm not sure if it helped everyone else. It did. It had to help someone, because later on that day, Bill Paisley asked Travis, "Does this ever get old to you?" And Travis said, "The different mistakes that people do, that gets him. That bothers him. But helping someone." Helping that one person get back to Christ, helping that one person lead him to Christ, that never gets old.
Amen.
That never gets old. We were diligently seeking after him. We go back to Luke chapter 15 and verse 5. It says, "And when he had found it, he laid on his shoulders, rejoicing." He didn't say, "Thank you, Lord." He went back his way. He said, "Come on, get up here, Steve." He said he put him up on his shoulder, and he was rejoicing. Woo! Thank you, Jesus, for that one. What was it? It was a sheep. He was rejoicing over one sheep. Amen. He carried it back on his shoulders, and not to get you back. I think you heard yourself. He was rejoicing over one sheep. You can have a seat. Thank you. Amen. He was rejoicing over one sheep. At the same time, those 99 sheep were still in the wilderness. I believe he was believing God. And he knew those sheep was going to be okay. But he diligently seek after that one sheep.
Amen.
If you go to verse 9 of 15, it says, "And when she had found it, she called her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I had lost." Any woman that I know, if they find anything, now this is a piece of silver. This is something expensive. I know my wife. I know you too, Elaine. I know all you women. If you find one thing, you find an old dollar in a laundry machine. By the way, I found $6 that wasn't mine, but it was in my laundry machine. It was in my drive. So I rejoiced over that $6 because I need it. I'll get back to you later, Faith. It was a birthday gift. You know, she had turned 6. I mean, you know, it all adds up. It's $5 and $1. I mean, I ain't got $6, so I know someone had to give it to Faith for a birthday. Anyway, that one silver that she found, it says she called her neighbors. She called the neighbors. Now, think about back when this time, if you had neighbors, they had to be pretty close or either far away. I believe she traveled rejoicing on her way over there, rejoicing, traveling to a different place, rejoicing. When one soul is saved, we should not only do we rejoice, the Bible says, let's go a little further. It says, verse 7. It says, "And I say unto you likewise, joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." If the people in heaven, the angels and Jesus and everyone else who was in heaven, they'll save people. If they're rejoicing over one sinner, how should we act when one person gets saved? I remember on that same bus trip, it was Wednesday. Me and Bill Paisley, it was real hot that day, and I wasn't feeling too well. But I had to get over my illness to have some help someone else's illness. Their illness is greater than my illness. My illness was just it's fleshly. It's just inside, just my stomach. Their sickness is sin. If they die in sin, they're gonna die and end up in hell. So I think I should go the extra step to try to help someone else.
Amen.
We picked up a brother by the name of Ronnie Jones Sr. We picked him up at the gas station. We picked him up at the gas station. It was him and two other people. They were just hanging out, and two of the people came, and one of the guys, he said, nah, I'll pass. Well, we picked that guy up. He told us where some more people was at. So we went over there to the Should Have Drawn the Truth home, and we picked up a handful of guys. It was probably five or six, and we're riding back. And those guys, if you just saw them in their appearance, the appearance can tell you they're homeless, but their attitude, the cleverness, the funniness of those guys, you would never knew they was homeless. Or most of the guys wasn't homeless, but they didn't have much. So they were living in different shelters and different high rises and everything. On our way back, we were telling them about the different programs that we were having, that we was giving out free Bibles and free haircuts. Most of those men, when you said haircuts, they was on that bus. You didn't have to say nothing else. They just wanted a haircut. We get our free haircuts, Bibles, reading glasses. We telling people about Jesus. We having a revival over there. And they was like, yeah, we'll come. And so we're on the bus. We telling about the Bible. It was like he asked one of the guys, he asked, do we have NIV Bibles? And then Ronnie said, he looked at him. Man, let me move over because I don't want to get struck by a lion. He said, that ain't no real Bible. And I was like, praise God. Somebody knows about a real King James Bible. Amen goes right there. But man, we got to the place and most of the guys were there for about an hour, a little bit over an hour. And you could tell when they got restless or anything like that because we'd get a call from the pastor or we'd get a call from Travis or Bill Paisley. Not Bill Paisley, but Billy Sampson. And that they was ready to go. So we get back there. And I'm looking for Ronnie. Where's Ronnie at? You know? I said, Ronnie, are you ready to go? He's like, no, you know what? I'm just going to hang out here. I said, what you mean hang out here? In my mind, I'm like, he's going to walk the streets? He's like, no, I like the people here. I'm just going to hang out. He's like, I'm going to stay for service. I said, I'm shocked. Why should I be shocked? Why am I shocked? I had no. I said, okay, cool. We left from there. We came back. We had service that night. He said he wanted to speak to someone. He's looking around for me because he thought I was going to leave him. I said, no, bro, I'm not going to leave you. I'll be back one second. And little did I know, Tim Cruisenberry was opening up that Bible. Ty Cruisenberry was opening up that Bible. And it was another man, the retired police officer. They were sharing him the word of God on top of Helene's car. I was like, I asked Helene, why are you still here? I didn't want to mess up someone getting saved. What if I pulled off and, you know, and I drove, I hit somebody, you know, that whole thing got crazy. So she stayed there. She, thank you for being patient. Amen. She was patient, and she was right there, and she witnessed someone get saved. Little did I know that little Gracie was getting saved. She got saved day before too. I had no clue. It's good to know what's going on around you. Amen. I had no idea what's going on around. I see people shouting. I'm just happy. I'm sweating to death. I'm walking around, passing out tracts, and I was getting help. People were getting help. Thank God people were getting help. But it says they rejoiced. When Ronnie got saved, I was around the street, around the corner, but I can hear people rejoicing. Why are people rejoicing? Someone got saved. Someone got delivered. Someone got help. If heaven is rejoicing over one sinner, I believe that's our main goal. The Bible says, he who wins his soul is wise. How wise are we today? Are we seeking? Are we searching for those that are lost? Are we going that extra step? Are we doing all that we can to witness to those different people? The hardest people to me, I believe, to witness to are the family. The family, the first thing they tell you, well, I know you. I used to be with you. I saw you do those things. They don't see you as much now. But I love that verse in 1 Corinthians 6:9. It says, those things I used to do. I used to sin. Not necessarily sin. I used to live in adultery or fornication. I used to drink. I used to. But thank God I don't do those things anymore. Amen. I have a Father in heaven. I have a Holy Spirit inside. I have Jesus, my big brother, who helps me to walk that straight path. The Bible says in verse 9, it says, and when she found it, she called her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. You see in verse 4, you see the search. You see in verse 5, you see the sighting. And then in verse 6 and 7, you see the singing. And then those same things that we see in verse 4, 5, or 6 and 7, you see later on in verse 8, verse 9, verse 10. And then the parable of the prodigal son, we all know that story. It's the same thing. You see the search, you see the sighting, and then you see that party that's going on. when that son came home to be with his father, he said he found himself. That's found. He said, and then the father said, "For this my son, which was dead and is alive again, he was lost and is found."
Amen.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for being blessed, Lord. Lord, I pray that this was encouraging to everyone, Lord. Lord, I pray that we go the extra mile, the extra step, Lord, to help seek the soul. Lord, I pray that everyone here, Lord, that we continue to go after our family members, Lord, to go after those who don't know you, Father. Lord, that should be what we do when we wake up every day in the morning, Lord. So pray for this, not for this one soul, Lord, to be hungry for one soul. Lord, I know we sometimes get lazy and lackadaisical, Lord. Lord, I pray that you help us, you give us the strength, Lord. Lord, I know as brothers and sisters that I wish were here right now, Lord. Say, give them this encouragement, Lord. Do not give up. Don't quit, Lord. Lord, we love you, Lord. We need you more than ever, Lord. Lord, time is ticking, Lord. I pray that everyone here, Lord, to just seek people, Lord. To seek, not be scared, Lord. Lord, we shouldn't be afraid of them, Lord. We should be afraid of the person who destroyed the soul and the body, Father God. Lord, I pray for everyone that's here, Lord. Lord, I pray that we search. I pray we sight. And then, Lord, we search and sight, Lord. We can start singing and rejoicing that we brought one more to you, Lord. Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.